Blog Talk Radio.
And it's Ken Kraitzer for CBSI Services with another edition of CBSI Talking Business. And today, amongst a crisis going on in the world, the coronavirus has had such an impact in Europe and Asia and here in the United States. So many of us are looking at working from home offices. We're very glad to have joining us a good friend of ours from the Avaya Telecommunications Company, and that is Steve Forcombe. Steve, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing, Ken?
Good, good. We are adjusting here at CBSI, helping our clients, which are largely in the credit card industry, help their customers. And so much going on. How is everything for you at Avaya? What's been the impact so far?
It's been busy. I feel like the last week and a half or so has been like a month and a half. Just a lot of need out there to help, you know, customers be able to react and to work from home, get their contact centers migrated over to where their now dispersed workforce can keep answering the phones, keep the lights on, keep helping people.
Absolutely. What a change. I was in Washington last weekend at an American Legion conference, actually, and then I covered one college basketball game before the tournament was canceled, and now just starting to see the impact around the world. And you know, I noticed that your company, Avaya, certainly has an international presence, and you've been helping your colleagues. I know you mentioned to me earlier your colleagues in Europe and in Italy especially, but also that you have a presence in China. Tell us a little bit about what Avaya has been doing internationally that's been helping clients through this crisis period.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time to be pitching in, not pitching product, right? So we were one of the first that jumped in mainland China to assist with this disaster. We donated a bunch of video conferencing gear to the pop-up hospitals that were getting set up in Wuhan and other provinces and territories to try and address this issue. And we've since expanded our offers to try and help as best we can. So we've offered our ACES video conferencing platform at no cost for all education facilities, all nonprofit facilities. They can take advantage of this platform at no cost. If you're not in those categories, when you sign up for spaces, we give a 90-day free upgrade to video conferencing. So you can host a 200-party video conference at no cost with us. And that's included at 90 days, and we're evaluating whether to extend that or not. We've offered other offers for our contact center customers. So if you have a contact center, and you found that, you know, you need to get your agents working from home to handle the incoming traffic, you can actually get assistance from Avaya to convert your licenses over to support work from home agents. And we've just been inundated with requests for that. I think we just put out a press release showing that we've in short order turned up almost 200,000 remote agents over the last few days. So it's very, very hectic. It's a very, very crazy time that everybody's going through. And the only way through it is to basically all work together and try and do our best to help out.
Now, maybe we should just go over what was the year like for you prior to this week or recently, because actually the crisis has been going on in China all year and in Europe since earlier in the year. What was the year like for you up until this crisis on a coronavirus?
It was busy for me personally, just on a different viewpoint, topic, footing, whatever you want to talk about, because we had announced a partnership with RingCentral back in the September-October timeframe. The deal closed on Halloween, and we've been ramping up to offer that service. It actually goes generally available next week, and it's taken on a new meaning to be able to support customers in the cloud in a rapid fashion. We've had a couple of customers we've had to turn on overnight with this platform, and we've been doing really great with it. So it's been a very, very busy time for me, starting all the way back to, you know, September, October of last year. It's just taken on a different meaning now with the you know, the quarantine and the COVID issue, the COVID-19 issue. It's just a different busy. It's a different meaning, but it's been a whirlwind for the past, you know, probably 6 months or so.
Well, you're always traveling, speaking on behalf of Avaya conferences all across the country, and I know I've had the pleasure of being invited to attend several of your Avaya meetings around New York City. Maybe tell us a little bit about, you mentioned contact centers and trying to help companies build and maintain their workforce by people working remotely. Certainly something very important to our client base, primarily banks and credit card issuers. What have been some of the work and services Avaya has been helping its clients maintain their workforce in contact centers?
Yeah. So, I mean, just before I say that, I just want to also kind of make one comment, because you just reminded me with the travel. I'm lucky that Avaya actually kind of took care of me before I took care of myself. I wasn't taking this thing seriously enough. You know, I was traveling, and, you know, I was kind of frustrated when we were canceling out early on things because of the travel. And before I took this seriously enough, our company was taking it seriously for its employees. So I'm thankful that the company did that for us. Now, when you talk about supporting our customers through this time, like I mentioned, we've come up with offers to try and help out as best we can where we can. So we've done the Spaces trial for nonprofits. We've done the Spaces, or not trial, but the Spaces offering for nonprofits, for educational institutions. We have the 90-day trial, which we are evaluating for, you know, other purposes for customers. But at a bare minimum, you can get free video for 90 days. We're always evaluating options, and that was, we expanded the offering to include contact center late last week, I believe it was. So we have our some of our largest customers are taking us up on that offer to convert their licensing from on-prem to support remote worker at no additional cost. So we've done a lot of that work there. And we've also had a lot of customers who are saying they want something more permanent. This has opened up their eyes to, this is not going to be, as scary as that is to say, the last time we confront a challenge like this, and we've got to be better prepared to deal with it. So a lot of our customers have really taken an interest in what we've come out with in terms of subscription, just a different way to consume the product from Avaya, because it gives you some burstability. You know, you can add users without having to call us and add them. It doesn't even cost anything as long as you stay under 20%. We've seen a lot of interest in those types of things as well, and that's been growing since this new reality's kind of seeped in.
Sure. Now, when you talk about helping a client move to remote from on-premises for their contact center representatives, what's involved with that? What's different about a remote setup from an on-premise setup?
There's a million things. How long do we have? I mean, just from a technology perspective, it's as simple as giving them licenses, right? It's setting up licenses so that way they can use something like a 1X agent to work remotely. It's so much bigger than that. I mean, just in general, and this goes beyond the contact center, there's two types of customers that I'm speaking with right now. There's the type that is totally unprepared for this work from home reality. You know, they've been sweating infrastructure assets for the last few years. So they're running a legacy, you know, soft switch. They're running legacy software releases. And now all of a sudden they've got to get everybody working remotely. And how do you do that, right? And it for those types of customers, it's easier to start with a blank slate than it is to try and renovate, right? So those are the types of customers we're having those discussions around Avaya Cloud Office. But it's also more, like I said, than just the infrastructure. It's the environment that your users are going home to work with. And that kind of bleeds into the second type of customer. The second type of customer says, hey, I have a subset of my users that work from home already. So this is old hat, so to speak, for our company. And we're just, you know, ready to start working from home. And the challenge that they're finding is, number one, there's a difference between having an entire strategy around your entire workforce working from home or working remotely and a subset of users. You know, working from home is more than just giving somebody a laptop and a cell phone. It's evaluating their infrastructure at their house. And I'm actually a perfect example of this. What kind of bandwidth options do you have in your home for home internet? Does your home network support prioritization of your work device over the other devices that are being used in the house? So, you know, as my whole family's quarantined, we're all, you know, fighting over bandwidth. How do I ensure that my work video conference gets the clearest path of the road compared to my daughter streaming Netflix or my son, you know, doing gaming? And my gear didn't support it. I didn't realize it because up until today or the last few days, I've never needed it. It goes even further. You know, does the user have a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse? Do they have a desk to put that on? Do they have a headset to kind of create some level of privacy for the family, but also to create good quality audio when you're on these nonstop video calls? There's a million different variables that are going into it. We offer some relief in a subset of those, but I think a lot of this is going to fall into a broader evaluation of your work from home capabilities. And that doesn't even speak to the leadership changes that you've got to go through to support a work from home workforce.
Absolutely. Gosh, we went out. My wife is working at home and I am too, but we had to go out and buy a chair, order a desk for her and we had to bring a screen from her office in and get that set up. And your thought about checking the infrastructure on Wi-Fi is certainly well taken. You know, what spot in your house gets the best service versus where you may have a temporary office set up. Interesting. Now, Steve, we're talking to Steve Forcombe from Avaya, technologist, engineer with them. And, Steve, you know, you mentioned home offices or remote working for contact center agents. What about those of us who are shifting our workspace to home? I know Avaya's got a suite of products and services. What are some of the keys to setting up a home office for just anyone who's now finds that's going to be the way they're going to communicate for a while?
Yeah, so let me first talk about the end user. So you want to create a space that's yours, that you can kind of say, this is where I go to work. You know, you don't want to be setting up at the kitchen table because that's going to create a variety of challenges. It's not going to be comfortable to sit there for 8 hours. It's going to be a challenge for the rest of your family around you. How do you, you know, kind of maintain that space? So the first step is to find yourself a space in your home that you can make your office, even if it's not normally an office. Try and set yourself up with some type of a desk with a comfortable chair. Try and set yourself up, if you have it, with a monitor and a keyboard and mouse, so that way you're not typing on, you know, your laptop. And then focus on some of the soft things, right? So try and find some good lighting. If you're going to be on video conferencing nonstop, make sure that the light is behind the camera as best you can, not behind you, because then all of a sudden your camera washes you out. You just look like a silhouette on the video calls. Try and use a headset. At a bare minimum, use earbuds. Even if you have to use the built-in microphone on your computer just to keep the echo from happening. And then secondarily, I think you've got to, the leadership has got to think about how do you support this remote workforce. And it's not just by giving them the tools, it's how do you maintain and continue to grow a culture that was built in a tactile environment. You know, you built this culture where everybody was in the office. How do you keep that culture in a world where working from home can become very solitary? You know, you went from an environment where people could just drop by, ask questions, run ideas by people. Now there are barriers to that. You know, I mean, leaders always say, hey, I've got an open door policy. If the door's open, come on in and ask me or let me know what's on your mind. How do you replicate that in a remote world? How do you keep a team of people that are working in different physical locations connected to keep that team culture? There are a variety of suggestions. So one of the things that I've done is I've created what I call office hours. These are kind of the door is open, so to speak. So I have I'm on a video conference bridge. It's open to the public. Anybody can drop by to just ask a question, say hello. You know, if you're interested as a customer, you want to see a demo, stop in, I can do a demo for you. But just that open door of, you know, my open video door gives people the ability to stay connected with me. And that's helped with some of the conferences that you pointed out that have been canceled. It's helped with some of my colleagues because it's one less hurdle for them, right? Do I call Steve? Is Steve available? Do I send Steve a meeting invite? If I advertise, hey, my door is open during these hours, just swing on by. It's given people access to me, and that's been extremely invaluable. It's been well received. I've had a stream of people when I do these. And actually, I've had a couple of colleagues and some of our partners mimic that with similar success. So I think that's another thing that you've got to keep in mind when you think about working from home. There's the certain elements that the worker has to address, but then there's also the certain things that the leaders have to keep in mind to try and make this as successful as an opportunity as you can during this trying time.
Absolutely. I mean, setting up at home for all the different factors that you said, both logistics, the space, the desk, the computer, a chair, headset, and then also just how to interact with leadership, how to interact with customers. One of the things you mentioned, Steve, and I've heard in some other recommendations, is the benefit of video conferencing. And I've seen some very nice depictions up on your website screen. Why is video conferencing better than just simply doing an audio-only teleconference?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, so just starting the fact, you can actually see everybody. So it creates a variety of different benefits. You can read body language. You can see, are people engaged or are they not engaged? It goes back to that aspect of this is a solitary environment. So the more that you can actually create that face-to-face experience, the more impactful the meeting will actually be. There's a million different reasons to do video over audio-only conferences. It's more productive. It's more, you know, the information imparted is better retained through visual stimulation versus audio-only stimulation. It's become the de facto. It feels strange when somebody is on a conference call and they're audio-only now. You know, there's always two or three people who won't open up the camera because they're afraid of how they look or, you know, for whatever reason. And it just feels odd hearing a voice without having that face to connect to it. The second challenge, though, in this unprecedented time is availability. And one of the things that I've, you know, started talking a lot to customers about is the leading vendors in the video space are wrestling with just ungodly amounts of demand. And they've done a yeoman's work with keeping their platforms as available as they can, but they're having outages. And one of the things that you may want to keep in mind when you start thinking about this work from home reality is zigging where others are zagging. So if everybody's kind of concentrating among, you know, two or three video conferencing providers, you know, you may want to look at separating the lock from the key, so to speak. You know, if you're using something like a Microsoft Teams, you can also use Avaya Spaces as your video conferencing engine. When everything works, they integrate together. But when one has an outage, like say Microsoft, who just recently had an outage because of the, you know, unprecedented demand, Spaces is still up and running. So you're not totally, you know, hard down. So you could look at a strategy to basically have a business continuity plan for your collaboration apps instead of having all of those eggs in one bucket. So that's one example. There's a variety of others, but I think the pervasive aspect of video is what's going to make this next few months at least manageable. I don't want to say easier, but at least manageable. Being able to see people, even though there's distance and, you know, hopefully physical structures between us, is going to make this at least bearable.
Well, I was on a webinar yesterday with leaders from Stan McChrystal's company in Washington about crisis management, and they were recommending doing an all-hands video conference in the morning so that everybody would have a chance to hear what's going on. And then also to ask questions, because they were saying it's very important that everyone in the organization has, you know, has a chance to ask questions about what's going on. Is that something you'd recommend for companies that they try as a way to keep in touch with customers and their employees to do video conferences, all hands with staff?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. The other thing I would add, I'm a big fan of this office hours concept because it's got to be more intimate than just everybody on a bridge. Those are valuable, but I think you also want to try and create that in-office experience where somebody does the drop-bys, right? The water cooler talks, the drop-bys in the open door office to say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? I think they both, the more touch points you can have with your colleagues and your customers, the better, especially in this time. And video definitely is an empowerer for that. So, yes, I would agree with an all of the above approach.
Sure. Hey, just in terms of some of the verticals that Avaya supports, I know you do you support a number of banks and their contact center. Certainly the airlines were in touch with. A lot of our benefit programs can touch airline customers on cancellations due to coronavirus. What are some of the special needs or solutions that you've been able to find for specific industries in this crisis time?
Yeah, every day, almost every human being on this planet uses an Avaya solution, whether they realize it or they don't. A lot of times you pick up a phone and you see the logo, but a lot of times when you call in to a business that you are trying to get something done with, whether it's, you know, you're trying to cancel an airline ticket, whether you're trying to check in with a loved one that's, you know, recovering in a hospital or anything in between, chances are it was the Avaya contact center solutions that connected you behind the scenes. And, you know, we service pretty much all of the major verticals on the market. You know, you mentioned airlines. I think we're, you know, managing four of the top five airlines in the country. You know, every vertical you talk to, we have a very heavy footprint in. And that creates a lot of opportunity for those customers to leverage our software to help create a better outcome for their customers. So, you know, a lot of times it's the core products that people know of us as, the contact center product. But now, again, in this workforce world, we're talking a lot about video conferencing, about headsets, about video cameras, because we have a whole set of video cameras for customers to use with their home offices. We've got a lot of different options in terms of call centers. And now with cloud-based services, you know, you may want to notify your users about changing circumstances. And on one hand, you'd say, well, we've got a million different ways to reach our users. We've got email, we've got, you know, apps, we've got all these other things. But there could potentially be challenges where data becomes an issue, data throughput, you know, online access.
Sure.
But the cell phone will still be online. So you can still send somebody an SMS. You can still send somebody a phone call. So a product like Avaya Cloud Notification Service is really, really valuable in uncertain times like this, because with no infrastructure anywhere, this is a pure cloud-based service, you can send out massive messages to your workforce, to your customer base, whoever, via text, via voice, and those pushes go out, and the administrator actually has a dashboard so they can watch in real time who's received the messages, who's responded to the messages, because this is a two-way message path. So if I send out a text message asking, are you online? Are you able to work from home? Do you have the tools that you need? Reply yes if yes, reply N if no. And you can actually watch those replies coming back to you, and then you can respond in real time to those users as necessary. So it's a great tool for any vertical, Just to be able to rapidly contact all of your users, all of your customers, ask them questions, stay connected with them. And you can go beyond just the data-based apps, beyond email, beyond, you know, apps, beyond social media, because there could easily be a time where internet connectivity becomes spotty. You know, I just saw the EU is asking Netflix to start throttling down the quality of their video streams because we're worried about the load on the internet. So you've got to think beyond just data when it comes to reaching out to your customers. And that's another area where we've helped a lot of our customers out with is going beyond that and thinking about the other channels that will be available in the absence of high quality connectivity.
Well, it's so important because, yeah, there is so much demand, extra demand on services. Colleges are trying to go to online education where they in many cases had not done a lot, or and so using up so much more bandwidth on that program, video conferences. And we're talking with Steve Forcom, who's a technologist at Avaya, expert in so many elements of this. Steve, is there a service, I know you've got a lot of this up on your website, some of the ways you've helped clients around the world, is there a set of services or solutions that customers or any of us may want to take a look at because we've never thought of using something before or really have a special need as we're trying to work from home and still take care of our own customers? Anything special that you think everyone should make sure they check out on your website?
Yeah, the best thing to do is just visit Avaya.com. It's right on the front page. I actually just checked it now. The front page right on the top banner, it's giving you all the links to talk about, you know, our COVID-19 response, how to work through this at home, the hotline number on how to get help from Avaya, how your contact center can work from home. There's a ton of information right on the top page of our website. So I would just recommend visit Avaya.com. That's a great kind of portal to start with.
Very good. Hey, Steve, I just want to thank you so much for your time today to go through and hear your expertise as we all are working remotely, setting up home offices, trying to do our jobs, and certainly so much helping emergency service workers who have a need to do video conferencing. Telemedicine is advancing, I think, by the day, more people using it, and so many other elements. So I just really want to thank you so much for taking time, and also for over the recent years, the chance to attend some of the Avaya conferences and meet some of the members of your team. You folks are really leaders in the telecom field.
I appreciate that. I look forward to this challenging period passing and getting back to whatever semblance of normal that is in doing those. So I look forward to seeing you at an event in the future.
Absolutely. Maybe we'll call on you down the road as we get closer to that time. So I just want to say thank you to Steve Forcom, who's a technologist at Avaya, and more information at Avaya.com. And just want to conclude this episode of CBSI Talking Business, coming to you from our home headquarters here in Harrison, New York. Thank you again, Steve, and everybody, have a good day and stay safe as we work together to get through this coronavirus crisis. This is Ken Kratzer for CBSI Services.